Welcome to the Cowboy Chronicles, the Oklahoma State football podcast presented by Zaxby's. Cure your craving. Stop in today or visit Zaxby's.com. I am your host, Scott Wright of the Oklahoma, joined by my beat partner, Jacob Unruh. Jacob, we're coming up on game week of McNeese State. The most interesting thing about this game, well, there's two interesting things. It's Cowboys versus Cowboys, yeah. Which a lot of people haven't realized yet.
Yeah, we can't use the word Cowboys in our stories. Like, I have struggled with that. Right. As I was working on a story last night for tomorrow's paper, I was thinking, I want to go write Cowboys. Like, I can't do that. Even if I mention Oklahoma State in the same sentence, I'm still not comfortable saying Cowboys later. It's a strange feeling. I will say the Cowboys are going to win this week.
That's right. Just like OSU was going to win last week.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. We came off a week where
the orange and black team was going to win last week, too.
Couldn't use OSU last week. Now we can't use Cowboys this week.
I'm sure we're for Tulsa week where we can use our normal verbiage here.
in doing some research, I did find out that they use the phrase go pokes.
I saw that too.
They spell it G-E-A-U-X, though.
My wife, when I told her, I said, I can't use Cowboys this week. She said, what about pokes? And about that point, I was going down their website and I said, never mind, they use pokes.
They use that too. And they got the cowboy on the bucking bronco as one of their logos as well. So the other interesting thing, as you sort of alluded to there, Ed Orgeron's son is McNeese State's quarterback, Cody. We'll get to that in the second segment, and then third segment will be mailbag. But some interesting stuff there in the dynamic of Division I coach, college son who's a quarterback trying to go to college. Got same dynamic going on at Oklahoma State. So we'll talk a little bit about that and let you get into your story that is in Friday's paper. But let's start with this. What can actually be learned by playing McNeese State?
Exactly.
That's the correct answer. That's the correct answer.
You know, I think we're going to see a chance to see Drew Brown. Mm-hmm. So we're going to learn what he looks like maybe as a quarterback a little bit. I mean, I don't think they're going to push him necessarily.
Right.
If it was as close as the coaches say it was in the camp, he's pretty talented and he's going to come in and get a chance to show that this game. You know, we might get to see some third string guys we don't normally get to see. Mm-hmm. I think they're going to limit Chuba's carries. I know I had the, you know, today talk about, you know, he's projected for like 300 carries according to Gundy right now. And it might be much. I don't know that he's going to get 25 carries again this week.
I don't see that happening.
I would be stunned if he did.
I'd be stunned if he gets more than 10.
Yeah. You know, he's going to have some big runs, I think, in those 10 carries. You know, I think we're getting a chance to see the defense be solidified a little bit. Maybe if, you know, the defensive line kind of comes back intact, you kind of get a chance to see them and get some rhythm and maybe a chance for the secondary to kind of settle in. You know, they had some moments last week where they gave up some big plays, and this might be a chance just maybe for some guys like that to settle in and some young guys to really get in there. Maybe that's what I look to learn from this, maybe. Right. I don't know. Yeah. On top of also covering my first college football game. So, there's a little bit of learning on my end, too. But
At least your first one is not you on your couch.
Yeah. Not on my couch, yes. Yeah. And as a college beat writer, I've freelanced some games and things.
Right.
I covered some games when I was a lot in paper, too. But this is different. So I'm going to, you know, that's what I kind of look to learn. What about you?
Yeah, no, same type of thing. I am interested to see Drew Brown, interested to see some of the other maybe receivers that get involved. Get Braden Johnson a chance to redeem himself after that drop at Oregon State. You know, if he gets more in the mix, Pat McCoffman didn't play a ton. I think we'll see more from him. The defense, you just want to see them be solid. Because you can't expect. I mean, they're going to be more talented, but you just don't want to see, giving up a bunch of third down conversions again, or not getting any takeaways. Those are two things that really need to change in a week like this. So,
are you looking more for the Cowboy backs this week too?
I'm
interested in them a little bit.
I think they might slow play them a little bit, maybe not give away everything that they're working on there. Gleason obviously likes the two tight end sets. Gundy mentioned that was something that he had done in his past, that Gleason had done in his past, that they sort of liked integrating into this offense. with Jelani Woods and Logan Carter in particular. They had both those guys on the field a lot. We'll see. I expect that to continue a decent amount. But as far as really getting them involved in the passing game, I think they kind of slow play that a little bit because I feel like they think Jelani Woods could be a star this year, and they don't want to don't want to show their hand too early.
Right? Yeah.
On some of that
you've
stuff.
Got the ability. You don't have to show too much. Yeah. I mean, we're probably not going to learn too much about the playbook.
No.
This week.
No.
They can get away with that.
Yeah. Exactly. So. You want to see consistency and no fatal mistakes. You don't want to see Spencer Sanders coming out and throwing a couple of picks putting the ball on the ground, that sort of stuff.
Do you think we'll get to see your favorite player, Tom Hutton, punt a little bit more this week?
More? I don't know. We'll see more than two.
Yeah.
That's a tough call. I would say if it's more than two, I'll be surprised.
Maybe second half when you guys get some.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. If we see him before the middle of the third quarter, that will probably be a little bit
right.
of a surprise at that point. So, I want to see him really unleash on one though. We haven't seen him do that yet.
Yeah, no, he didn't do that in Oregon.
No. So anyway, that'll be that's some of the things to look forward to out of this week. Just the home opener is fun though. Mm-hmm. There's some energy that's unique to that, even though it's a lower level opponent. And we'll get more into that. There's a question about FCS schools in the mailbag that we'll address. So we'll jump into that. But seeing the atmosphere at Boone Pickens again, getting excited and ready for the season because they got a lot of road games starting out the year. So fans need to take advantage of this, even though it's an FCS opponent. Get out and do your thing. Do your grilling on the tailgates and hitting Eskimo Joe's or wherever you like to go for your pregame stuff. Zaxby's is right down the road, mm-hmm. within walking distance of the stadium. So get out and hit all those places and then enjoy the time because it's a few weeks before they return. So. Let's go ahead and take a quick break, and we're going to come back and talk college coaches and their quarterback sons right after this. This is the Cowboy Chronicles presented by Zaxby's. We are back on the Cowboy Chronicles presented by Zaxby's. I'm Scott Wright, your host, joined by Jacob Unruh. Jacob, you got a story going in Friday's paper about Cody Orgeron and sort of about Gunnar Gundy as well.
Yeah, he's a very minor part of this. But
right,
yeah.
But it's the whole idea is that McNeese State quarterback Cody Orgeron is the son of LSU coach Ed Orgeron, and Mike Gundy is obviously the Oklahoma State coach, mm-hmm. and has a son now in high school, a senior in high school, trying to make a college decision. He's got some mid-level Division I programs looking at him. Probably has some other options that are out there that we don't know about yet. And he's always got the offer on the table to walk on at Oklahoma State. But sort of, let's first of all talk about Cody a little bit because it sounds like he was a pretty interesting kid.
Yeah, Cody's was a fun interview, actually, to be honest.
Yeah.
I asked him one question. The first question I asked him, he gave me a 270-word answer. I counted it up. I was like, wow, all right, this is going to be fun. But he's a kid that obviously his dad coached at USC, was the head coach at Ole Miss. Like, he bounced around with his dad. He talked about playing catch with Reggie Bush and Troy Polamalu and Patrick Willis and guys like that, like being around those guys a lot as a kid. So football was always kind of there for him. He mm-hmm. wasn't ever that serious about it. I think he walked away in around middle school time.
Mm-hmm.
Became a really good tennis star in Louisiana. Won a couple state titles in tennis in high school. And then he kind of hit a growth spurt right before his senior year, kind of junior year, senior year. Only played high school football 1 year as senior as a starting quarterback. His twin brother was a receiver, Parker, and they went to the state semifinals in, I think, 5A there in Louisiana. So, I mean, he had talent right away. There just wasn't those opportunities there for a quarterback that late in the recruiting process. He had the option to go to LSU, from what I understand, but his dad actually told him to go elsewhere. His dad said, no, go to McNeese. His brother was going to McNeese on a scholarship, said, go walk on to McNeese. He coached there in the 80s. He's like, go there. I know this place. It's close to home. go make a name for yourself, basically. So Cody had to walk on. He told me he was fifth string, and he made maybe $160 at the time. And he's 185 now, so he's put on some decent weight. Eventually got a scholarship, and then this year was named the starting quarterback under Sterling Gilbert's, you know, his new offense coming in there, the head coach, yeah. First year's head coach. And he's in there as a starting quarterback now. But Cody completely recommends for someone like Gunner, go elsewhere. Go make your own name. Go be yourself. Go prove that it's not your dad getting you this far, mm-hmm. that it's yourself.
Yeah.
That's what he believes. Now, whether or not Gunner sticks to that,
right.
I don't know. I know Gunner pretty well for the last few years in the high school beat, writing a lot about Gunner and getting to talk with him a bunch. He's open to playing for Mike. He hasn't made any kind of decision, though.
Right.
Eastern Michigan's the one, like, Division I offer he has. He has chances elsewhere. He has Division II offers all in state. They've all offered all that.
Right.
I'm sure he can go junior college if he wanted. It's just that I think he's waiting for someone else to pull the trigger if they can. But the problem is he's literally had some of these Division I Power 5 coaches or whatever say, we're fearful to offer you, and you're just going to go play for your dad.
Like,
There's only so many offers they can make for quarterback.
Exactly.
And so that's the biggest issue there, but. It's really interesting when you start talking to Cody, though, because Cody's like, no, my dad said go mm-hmm. away. You know,
right.
Basically, go away and go make a name for yourself elsewhere. And it's been the best thing. He said it's the best decision he's made.
Yeah. It's really fascinating because if you look at the things that Gunner has to juggle in this, you know, obviously Oklahoma State is a big part of his entire life.
Mm-hmm.
Stillwater, it means a lot to him. The idea of being at Oklahoma State on the football team playing for his dad has both positives and negatives. Mike has been very open about how tough he is in film study with Gunner. You know, plus you're looking at a program that's got a redshirt freshman quarterback right now. They've got a true freshman already on campus who is pretty talented and a guy committed already for Gunner's class in the 2020 class,
mm-hmm.
In Shane Illingworth, who is also pretty talented and a different type of player. So, you know, Gunner could be, you know, walking into a really tough situation to ever have an opportunity to get on the field. So, you know, you got to juggle. You know, do I want to go find somewhere where I can play right away or fairly soon in my career? Do I want to stay here, play for my dad, have that chance maybe eventually, have to fight with all these other guys that I'm going to have to battle against? You know, all of these. Do I actually want to play for my dad?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that's a tough part. And Mike talked about, you know, the struggle of not being able to see his son play.
Yeah.
And that's you know, Mike has been very open about saying he wants Gunner to make his decision. But, you know, as a father, that's a tough idea of thinking that your son's going to be playing the same time you're playing. And,
mm-hmm.
and
I was actually speaking, I was reading that with doing research on Cody and Ed Orgeron. Cody's first start was last year. He got to make a start last mm-hmm. year. And Orgeron, actually, it was LSU's bye week. So yeah. He got to go and watch the game, watch his son start. The funny thing was they didn't announce it publicly that he was going to start, but Orgeron announced it on his coach's show.
Oh, wow.
Like, he was I'm going to be – like, they were asking what he's going to do this weekend on his off week, and he's like, I'm going to go see my son start at quarterback. And everyone's like, wait a second, he's starting now? Like, you know, and that kind of thing. And so he got to go and watch that. So, you know, there's kind of that, like, you might get a chance maybe on a bye week
you
know, if your son's playing elsewhere and happens to be playing that day. But, yeah, that's a struggle right there. I can't imagine not being able to go watch your own son play.
Right.
You know, because Mike's really good about going on Friday nights.
Yeah.
If mm-hmm. they're in town, not traveling,
right.
He is there on a Friday night. I've seen him multiple times at Stillwater games the last few years. Sometimes he'll fly in his helicopter. He and Jason McAdoo, you know, because McAdoo's son's also at Stillwater High right now. And so they kind of, you know, make it work.
Yeah. And, you know, I went down. I can't remember if it was last year or 2 years ago that I went down to Lawton 1 week when Stillwater was down there, And, you know, they were all down there on a Friday night when OSU had a home game. So, yeah, it's a big deal to Mike. And so it's going to be interesting to see how that plays out. Again, that story is will be online and in the paper in the Oklahoman on Friday. So be sure that you check that out. Lots of good information in that story. Very interesting dynamic that those kids have to go through.
I ran out of horse ideas. I'm sorry.
That's all right. You know? That's all right.
So I ran out of ideas on that.
Hey,
so.
Listen, I reached out, tried to get BB as a guest. apparently, he did not want to come on the podcast. It's understandable.
Yeah.
It's understandable. You know,
he's busy now.
He's a really popular horse right now. So, all right. Well, let's take a quick break. We got a lot of stuff to get to in the mailbag. We'll come right back on the Cowboy Chronicles presented by Zaxby's. We are back on the Cowboy Chronicles, presented by Zaxby's. It is mailbag time. I'm your host, Scott Wright, joined by Jacob Unruh, answering your questions from Twitter. And to pick up on the theme of the last segment, Crazy Ivan asks, what are the chances Gunnar Gundy goes to OSU? And if he never gets on the field, will he be groomed to be a grad assistant coach one day? I think we answered the question. We have no idea on the odds.
I actually am starting to lean towards, I think they might be pretty good.
Yeah.
And this is just my speculation. Mm-hmm. I haven't talked to Gunnar about it in a few months now. But the later it gets in this recruiting process for a quarterback, the harder it gets.
Yeah.
You only take one a class, mm-hmm. essentially. The offers not came in yet. And I assume some of these schools are probably already filling up their quarterback recruiting. So mm-hmm. I'm starting to wonder if maybe that's going to be his best option to go to OSU. Now, as far as the grad assistant thing, that's an interesting thought.
Yeah.
Gunnar is... highly intelligent right. quarterback. He's very technically sound for the most part, makes very good decisions out there. So that's not a bad career path
right.
for him to take if he wants to go that direction. But like I said, it's just speculation whether that's good odds or not.
Yeah. All right. Several questions from Weston here, so we'll try to knock these out real fast. Was it more of the game plan to not put pressure on the quarterback or the lack of experience on the defensive line? I lean a little bit toward game plan because they didn't bring a lot of help for the defensive line. They rushed their linemen pretty much, they didn't try to overpower with blitzes. So I think that there are things that they're going to do in the future that are going to help. Now, as the third down conversions kept piling up at Oregon State, I sort of expected them to do something different, but they chose not to, and had kind of backed off by that point. After they got the 31-10 lead, they sort of seemed comfortable just running their base defense. Safety struggled in this game. Is this due to the flight there, the delay getting to the game, running zone defense, or not putting enough pressure on the quarterback? You got a lot of those things. I don't know that the flight there was necessarily an issue.
Yeah, no, they got there early enough. I think that's not an issue.
Yeah, there was the delay. They got there 35 minutes later than they had planned to. But I don't know how much that is a big deal.
I think
zone defense or pressure on the quarterback, I think, can both factor into that. Also, particularly Isaiah Hudgens, but the other receivers were
pretty good.
They're pretty good.
I was going to say, Oregon State's offense wasn't bad. We've got to keep in mind here. Their offensive line's a veteran line, and I thought Hudgens was really impressive. And so, I mean, guys like that, I mean, they're going to get their plays.
Right.
Oregon State's going to go and score points a lot of weeks anyways on anybody. They're just not going to stop anybody.
Yeah, they had a six-year senior quarterback who's a veteran guy, and they made some double moves that got them some guys open. So, also asks, Malcolm Rodriguez was one of our top tacklers last year as a safety. Trey Sterling was one of our top tacklers this week. Not good. Not really a question, but I think that safety position is very similar to a linebacker mm-hmm. in a lot of defenses. You got to think there's only two linebackers on the field. So I don't get hugely concerned. Now, the fact that Rodarius Williams was one of the top tacklers in this game.
That's a little concerning.
That was a little bit more concerning because it makes you feel like people are just going to pick on him, try to pick on him a lot. And if they're afraid of A.J. Green, they're going to start going to that side of the field. And then you have to sort of adjust to a position where you're hoping to be able to rely on that guy in one-on-one situations. He's got a couple more, one about injuries that someone else asked, and we'll get to in a second. But does Malcolm Rodriguez stay at linebacker, which I think is a fascinating question.
We don't know yet.
We don't know.
I mean, we don't know Bundage's situation entirely yet. If Bundage comes back and can stay healthy, I don't think Malcolm stays there because you've got Calvin Bundage.
Right.
But if he can't stay healthy, then Malcolm, I think, stays there.
And you know, and with Bundage's back injury being what it is, it might be beneficial for him to stay there anyway, just because you need some depth there. So if Trey Sterling continues to play the way that he has and they feel comfortable with other backups that they've got at safety, I think that it could be a somewhat long-term situation. Patty in Tulsa asks, how many of these four guys on defense will be starters by the Texas game? Antoine, Israel Antoine, he says Harper. I assume he means Devin Harper, Calvin Bundage, or Trace Ford. What do you think? I got a number in my head that I'm comfortable with. What do you think?
So Antoine, sorry, I want to get this here. Mm-hmm.
Devin Harper. Calvin
okay.
Bundage.
Calvin Bundage.
Trace Ford.
Two.
Going with two?
Maybe.
Right. I'm sticking with one.
The one, I think, is Antoine.
Yeah.
I think Antoine's going to be the starter, and I think if Trace Ford continues to progress, you have a shot that he might get in there, but that's the only one I think.
See, if I was going two, I probably would have put Bundage.
And Bundage, Bundage is the health-related to me. I just don't know that.
Yeah,
he's going to be ready by then.
I think Ford has so much experience ahead of him mm-hmm. with Mike Scott and Brock Martin.
That's true.
That I think that he's going to be involved heavily.
Yeah.
We know that. I don't know that they're going to start him over those other two guys. Devin Harper, I think, he's still working back, and it could be if he's playing by the Texas game, I think that's a good sign for him. So
yeah.
I'm going with one out of those four that I think is going to be. A start.
I think Antoine's for sure. I think once Antoine gets on the field. And kind of starts playing. I think it's just a matter of time before he's the starter.
Yeah, absolutely. Interesting question here from Gary Busey's Amazon Fire TV, which I thought was hilarious. and he clearly has no idea what our podcast is. He just saw my tweet asking for questions. But what is it going to take for Gundy to, one, decide, and two, successfully recruit at a level to make the college football playoff, a.k.a. top 10? I mean, deciding to, I mean, he's trying to recruit the best players he can.
Yeah,
it's not like they're going out just hoping to only find 2 and 3 star guys. They're trying to recruit. I understand that he gets a bad rap from a lot of fans are annoyed by things, and that was sort of Mike Holder threw some gas on the fire with his comments last year, and I get it. I mean, there are only so many quarterbacks that have Spencer Sanders talent and are comfortable going. Spencer Sanders loves Stillwater because mm-hmm. it feels like home to him.
Yeah.
He's a small town country boy type of guy. Not everybody can handle being in a place like Stillwater. There are a lot of 4 and 5 star guys who just aren't going to look at living in Stillwater because they want to be in a big city or at least close to one. So, I think that Gundy has the ability between he and his coaching staff to put together that type of team. And I think that they are getting that talent. I think they had that talent 2 years ago and some pieces just didn't fall together. When Mason Rudolph and James Washington and Marcel Aitman and all those guys were seniors, things just didn't fall together at the right time. So, you know, you look at Spencer Sanders, and we've only seen him for one game, but what it looks like he could potentially be is the type of quarterback that makes you a top 10 team. And you know he's going to have offensive talent around him. You know, defense remains a question, and we'll see what direction that goes. We'll get to talk about the defense some more here in the rest of the mailbag. So, Oklahoma's own DJ asks, how long do you think Spencer Sanders' rope will be throughout the season? Also, let's address that one before we get to the next one. I think he's earned himself quite a bit of rope.
I don't think it's going to make a change anytime soon unless Drew Brown somehow gets in there and just lights the world on fire even more than Spencer has. But I think this is Spencer's job for foreseeable future.
Yeah, absolutely. Also, if this season goes poorly defensively, do you expect a shakeup on the defensive staff, Knowles or otherwise? I get that people are frustrated with Knowles. One thing that people are forgetting is that he literally just coached his first game with players he recruited.
Yeah.
And they're true freshmen.
Yeah, he's not.
I mean, the idea that you bail on this guy right now after changing defenses – changing your scheme from what Glenn Spencer was doing right now, when he's had, you know, one recruiting class to bring in, and we're seeing some of those guys play now as true freshmen. You know, you got to be patient with the guy.
Yeah.
at some point, if you bail on him now, you're putting yourself right back where you were. And you're starting over again.
I haven't been around, obviously, that long, but, like, Gundy seems like a guy that's not going to make a quick decision on something like that anyways. I think he's going to understand, hey, this is, you know, you've had one recruiting class.
Right.
You know, like, you've come in and early signs on some of these freshmen they have are pretty good. And
absolutely.
You know, it's not like he's had much of a chance yet. So I think, you know, he's had one game with those guys. And, you know, we're not going to learn much this week. May not learn much next week against Tulsa, because Tulsa's offense looks like it's really struggling right now. You'll learn something against Texas. But I still don't think you can judge Knowles until another year or two, just to kind of see where everything's going.
As far as the rest of the staff, I think they, for the most part, like what they've got. You know, it's an issue of do those guys and Jim Knowles mesh together the way that that you would hope. If they do, I wouldn't expect them to make any changes there. If they don't mesh, and they're realizing that now in year two, there could be some changes along the way. You also have an issue of somebody like Joe Bob Clemens could be up for some defensive coordinator jobs, I think, in the near future. So that could lead to some change and some turnover as well. But I don't see anybody just getting fired over anything right now. Next question. What good could come from playing an FCS school? You win and you're supposed to, you get beat and there goes the season. I don't think getting beat is a concern when they put these teams on the schedule.
The
rarity of that is so slim.
The ones that get beat that are FBS schools are the lower FBS schools anyways. They're not usually the Big 12s or the...
What is it, five times? I think Barry Trammell blogged about it earlier this week. I think five times that an FCS school has beat a ranked FBS program. So
yeah, it's so rare. Like I think what you gain from this is just you get a game. I mean,
right.
You know,
let's be honest, it's all financial.
Yeah,
it's
you save the money.
It's cheaper to get a program like McNeese or Missouri State that doesn't charge an outrageous amount. They're not looking for $1.5 million to come play you. You throw a few hundred thousand dollars at them, they come play you. You get a win.
And on a year you have to go to Oregon State. If you're OSU, like, you want to save that money. You've already paid all this travel money. You go
exactly.
So now you travel, you get McNeese State back. You save some money there, and then you travel to Tulsa. I mean, that's not going to be that expensive. So, you know, there is a lot of financial aspects to this.
Yeah, absolutely. Coleman asks, what needs to happen to turn the defense around? How do we so consistently have a bad D despite getting solid recruits? I think part of it is the fact that they're still going through a transition right now. I think that the defense is going to get better. I think that you know, there was they were very vanilla on Friday against Oregon State.
They're gonna be vanilla this week too. We're not gonna answer these questions for a few weeks on the defense.
Exactly. So that's the thing. And like I said before, I get that that people are concerned and that bothers them. But you know, let's see where the defense stands, you know, a month from now. James asks, Sanders only threw for 200 yards last week. At some point, I feel like he's going to have to win a game with his arm and as a passer and not because of his and Chuba's legs. Is there reason to be hesitant on if he can win a game with his arm, or did he show enough last week?
A little vanilla last week too, right? I mean,
right. I mean, he was 19 of 24.
Yeah, I mean, what do you?
They had a drop on a deep ball, mm-hmm. had a touchdown pass that was ruled out of bounds as for one of his incompletions. I think he showed plenty.
Yeah.
His accuracy was better than I expected.
That throw to Landon Wolf still stands out to me too.
Yeah.
That was a great throw.
Yeah, it was.
And he was on point with Tylan. It seemed like mm-hmm. they connected really well in the end zone.
Yeah, definitely.
I think he's going to be fine.
Yeah. Rob asks, we were at Oregon State and were impressed by the Cowboy fan turnout. Have you heard any estimates on how many fans we may have had? Obviously, with the team colors, it was impossible to estimate outside of OSU's allotted section. We sat in the quote-unquote terrace. Lots of fans there. I went down on the field before the game when the crowds were just filtering in, and I could kind of get a look up at the fans. It's easier to tell from the front if it's which OSU it was. Because the orange and black obviously did make it very difficult. There were a lot of Oklahoma State fans there. I would guess at least a couple thousand, maybe significantly more than that. But that's just my guess. I never heard any OSU official making any type of guesses. But I was impressed with how many there were. I'm trying to knock these out real quick because we are running short on time. But what was up with LD? Seems like he was slow on kickoff returns, and either the blocking was horrible on every handoff to him, or he's not waiting long enough, or he's waiting too long, or folks are keying off something. He didn't look like himself. I kind of wondered if maybe he got hurt on that touchdown run. That was an impressive run.
Yeah.
It was by far his best run of the night, and he was grinding through the line to get in there for the touchdown there. So I wondered if maybe he hurt himself, because I was right there with you. I didn't think he looked like himself after that touchdown run. Why does OSU have the worst defense in the Big 12 and one of the very worst in the country? Can't be Big 12 offenses because there are 8-9 teams in the Big 12 that do a better job. I think we're going to see improvement from the Big 12 from the defense of Oklahoma State.
People were really harsh after one game
against
Oregon State. Oregon State's not a bad offense. They have a really good running back, a veteran quarterback, really good receiver, an offensive line. I mean, it's not a bad offense. It's not.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not OU or Texas. I mean, I get that, but. That's a pretty good offense, and it's on the road game.
Oklahoma State was without what we both agreed is a starting defensive lineman.
Yeah,
and a
starting linebacker too.
Without three of three linebackers that would be in their probably top six or five, mm-hmm. five on the depth chart, in their top four if you take Malcolm Rodriguez out. Three guys that they expected to be filling their depth chart. And they had a new starter in at a crucial safety position because of the move of Rodriguez. So you had a lot, and then you factor in the game plan and all those sorts of things. So there's going to be progress from this defense. We might not see it until they go down to Austin and play Texas, but I think you're going to see progress. You're going to see progress beyond this year. Jim Knowles has shown that he can recruit talent. Trace Ford is obviously proof of that right now.
Yeah.
Jaden Jernigan playing on the defensive mm-hmm. line as a true freshman. Thomas Harper has been the buzz of camp going back to the spring. So you know, Jim Knowles' first recruiting class was really solid, and you know, his second one looks to be pretty good too. So I think he's going to be fine. Guy deserves some time. That's what I think. And you know. Defense in the Big 12 period is tough. So, all right, man. I think that's going to wrap it up for this extended mailbag. A lot of good stuff in that one. For Jacob Unruh, I am Scott Wright. This is the Cowboy Chronicles presented by Zaxby's. Cure your cravings. Stop in today or visit Zaxby's.com.